grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today is the gospel lesson read for you just a couple of minutes ago, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, have you ever lost your keys? Have you ever lost your wallet? Have you ever lost your phone? When did you lose them? I'll tell you when you lost them. When you said, "Let's go, people. We are late. We're not going to make it on time." And then you said, "What? Where's my wallet? Where's my phone? Where are my keys? I know I left them right here. But they're not there anymore." Am I safe to say by your chuckles that it's happened to every one of us? Well, if that is true, there's also one other thing that I can safely say, and that is that what has happened to none of us is that our keys or our wallet, or our phone have found themselves. They haven't done it. They haven't recovered themselves. They haven't retrieved themselves simply because it is not in their capacity to do so. Never once have you been in a hurry and you need to get out the door and you said, "Where are my keys?" And all of a sudden you heard a clinking noise. And your keys were dragging themselves across the carpet and saying, "Wait for me, wait for me." Didn't happen. Never once have you heard your wallet calling from under the seat of the car, saying, "Get me out of here." It did not happen. They do not have the capacity to do that. Well, human beings are no different. Neither you nor I have the capacity to get ourselves unlost or saved. If you've ever read in the little catechism of our church, you found these words. They say this, talking about the work of God's Holy Spirit. They say, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel message. The Holy Spirit has enlightened me with his gifts. The Holy Spirit has sanctified and kept me in the one true faith." And those are words that are based upon Bible verse after Bible verse in God's holy word. Romans chapter 3, it says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." In other words, you're not going to go chasing after God. You're not going to go seeking after the Lord unless the Lord does something first. Romans chapter 3 again, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "The person without the Holy Spirit does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He can't understand them because they're spiritually appraised." Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "No man can say Jesus is Lord except by God's Holy Spirit speaking in their heart." If you look at the Bible, it's pretty clear that no human being has the capacity to get themselves unlost. No human being has the capacity to get themselves saved. And the Lord even tells some stories about it. That's today's gospel lesson, where Jesus talks about the lost sheep. He talks about the lost coin. And both of them have one thing in common. What is it? They're both lost. They're both lost. And in that reading that you heard just a couple of minutes ago, does the lost sheep find its way home? Doesn't do it. Shepherd has to go looking for it. Does the lost coin say, "Here I am, pick me up"? No, the woman has to sweep and sweep until it's found. Today's gospel lesson. Now, there were drawing near to Jesus all of the tax collectors and the sinners to listen to him. And they were drawing near to Jesus, not because of their own reason or strength. They were drawing near to him because the Lord's voice was calling to them. There was a lot of sweeping going on, a lot of searching going on. But some people were unhappy about that. It says the Pharisees and the scribes, they're unified in the fact that they're grumbling, and they're saying, this Jesus welcomes sinful people. He eats together with them. And why are they, these sinners, drawing near to Jesus to listen? Well, of course, as I just said, the Lord's voice is calling to them. But not only that, they were drawing near to Jesus because of the failure of their own lives. They knew what God said. They knew what God commanded. They knew what God declared. Then they looked in the mirror. It didn't match up. And not only that, these people were coming to Jesus because of the failure of their religion to address their lives. And that's one thing you can be sure of, that religion is going to fail you. I'm not talking about Christianity. Christianity isn't a religion, it's a faith, it's a trust, a looking to the Lord. But if you look at the religions that human beings come up with, they always end up failing you, and they always end up failing you at the same point, the same place. They promise that you're going to be unified with God. But then all they do is separate you from God because the conditions are there, but the conditions are not met and they can't be met. And you can be sure that religion will say to you, look, you got to be obedient first. And if you're obedient first, then God's going to take you in. Simple as pie. Except it isn't. I remember in my college days, I spent my time wandering from different places, one church after another. I had my prodigal son time. And I can remember going to a church for a while that kept having that message over and over again. It kept saying, you know, God is up there in heaven, and he's got his arms crossed, and he's got a frown on his face, and he's tapping his foot, and he's waiting for you to shape up. He's waiting for you to be obedient. He's waiting for you to do what he says. Because only then can God use you. Only then does the Lord welcome you. Only then does God take you in. But if you turn to the Bible, you hear a different message. It says Jesus came along and he simply said, God will take you in. The Lord will take you in. No preconditions. We don't add that to what God says. God will take you in. And you say, yeah, but how is he going to do that? And Jesus says, I'll make sure of it. I will live righteously to count in place of your life. I will die sacrificially to wash away all of your sin in my shed blood. I'll hide you under the shadow of my wings. You can take refuge in me. How did he put it? He said, come unto me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Your Heavenly Father won't look at you. He'll see my life. Your Heavenly Father won't look at you. He'll see my blood washing you clean. Your Heavenly Father won't look at you. He'll see that you're covered with a robe of righteousness that I give to you. St. Paul, early Christian leader, would talk about it in his own life. This is what he said, Book of Titus, chapter 3. He said, we also once were foolish. We were disobedient. We were deceived. We were enslaved to various lusts and pleasures. We spent our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And what he's describing there is just a standard issue sinner as we come into this world, as you come out of the box, hot off the press. All have sinned, the Bible says, and fall short of the glory of God. That's what you are as you come into this world. It's not in your capacity to be any different than that. But Titus chapter 3 goes on, and this is what it says. It says, when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of the deeds which we have done in righteousness, but he saved us according to his mercy, by the washing of rebirth, renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, his gift, we would become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And so you look in today's gospel lesson and you see the angels of God rejoicing, but then you see some other people who are grumpy and upset. And no wonder, because that's what religion, I'm not talking about the Christian faith, I'm talking about religion, that's what the religion of people does to you. Because it said, have you done good deeds? Well, now you got to do more. Have you been obedient? Now you got to be more obedient. If you've done observances and rituals and followed services, you got to do more and more and more. It's a treadmill. What is a treadmill? You're walking, you're running, you're rolling, whatever you're doing, you're spinning and spinning and spinning, but how far forward do you get? Not at all. It's something you have no capacity to do. That's what St. Paul found out in the book of Titus. That's what Martin Luther found out, the fellow our church is named after. What they both found out is that at the end of the day, what you've got simply is the Lord Jesus, who says to you, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give it to you. It'll come. No wonder the angels rejoice, because you find somebody now who actually gets to the destination. They get there because Jesus did it. We call it being saved. Jesus guarantees it. He's got the capacity to make it happen. And you've got rest because you have pardon and forgiveness, and you're now clean with your Heavenly Father. Now, someone always asks at this point, and it's a good thing to ask, what about all that I read in the Bible about obedience? All of the commandments of God, we just did the Ten Commandments, didn't we? I think that the simple answer to that question is, if you're a believer in the Lord, you have God's Holy Spirit. You got a different heart that God put there. You got a changed heart that is there. You have a thankful heart that it's there because the Holy Spirit lives within you. And if the Holy Spirit lives within you, then good things will follow. Things that honor God. Things that are a blessing to the people around you. It's one of the things that I enjoy about being a pastor, being a preacher. And that is, if you run across real Christians, you don't have to tell them, you need to do this and you need to do that and you need to do that. Sometimes people come and they'll ask about little specifics, and that's fine. That's a part of the job that I do. But if a person has the Holy Spirit, if they're a believer in the Lord, they're simply led to do the things that honor God and the things that bless the people around them. And that's what brings joy to your heart. It's like when you look down and you see, where's the phone? Oh, it's under the chair. Or you move the stack of papers and there's your wallet. Or you pick up the load of laundry and you hear a clunk and there's the keys. All of a sudden it's there because God did it. And so you see in today's lesson, the Lord describes himself. He says, you know what I'm like? I'm like a fellow that lost the sheep. And I come into my house because I found it. I call together my friends and neighbors and I say to them, rejoice together with me because I found my sheep that was lost. He said, I'm like that woman who lost her coin. And she finds it and she calls her friends and neighbors together and she says, rejoice together with me. I found the coin which was lost. And so also I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God. There's joy in the heart of God over one sinner who repents and believes. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.